Hi everyone, this is Heather Podeska and welcome to today's call. I am so excited for today's call. It is How to Craft Your Profitable Signature Talk. And this is one of my favorite topics because having a profitably structured signature talk as part of your marketing strategy is one of the very best revenue generating tools you can have in your business. And today you're going to learn exactly what a signature talk is and how to structure yours so it reflects your value, draws in your audience, and makes you more sales. So let's start by talking about what a signature talk is versus just another kind of talk or even maybe a keynote talk and how it's different from the things you may have done in the past and what you might give in your other roles in life, in your professional life, in your corporate life, or maybe in your personal life and how it's different from those kinds of talks. A signature talk is a carefully crafted presentation that is a unique representation of your expertise, your point of view, and the value that you bring that is repeatable and leveraged. And it is a signature talk, just like everything that you have is signature. A signature talk uniquely represents who you are and your business. Think of it like your handwriting. It's very unique to you. Or a signature dish that you might order at a restaurant. It represents the flavors of the restaurant and the skill and the point of view of the chef. And the same is true of a signature talk. It represents your unique way of looking at your industry, how you solve a problem, your point of view about your topic, or even about the world. It's uniquely personal to you and your unique way of doing business, which helps to make you stand out from the rest of the crowd. It helps you distinguish yourself with your audience. A signature talk also showcases your expertise and value. When you create a signature talk, you have the opportunity to articulate all of the wonderful ways you help people, and you get to do it to a captive audience. You have more time and their attention to expound more about your process and show what you can do to provide the valuable transformation they're looking for, which positions you as a high-value expert. Having a signature talk also dramatically strengthens your brand footprint, which means every time you give it, you build equity in your professional reputation. You start to gain recognition and create stickiness in the mind of your audience. People start talking about you behind your back in the very best way, and you start to get referred for your expertise and for your speaking skills. Eventually, not only are you sought after by ideal clients, but other industry leaders who want to feature you to their audiences. And I'll give you an example for myself. I was doing speaking, and someone heard about it, and a friend of mine heard about it, and they told someone, and they told someone, like that old commercial. And I got asked to speak to a board of anti-money laundering experts. Now, believe me when I say that was not my original target audience, right? I work a lot with entrepreneurs and a lot with women, not all women, but a lot with women. And this was a completely different industry. But because of my reputation in branding and speaking, they asked me to speak to their organization. So your talk starts to work on your behalf, even when you're not speaking. And finally, a signature talk is a consistent, leveraged, and repeatable vehicle for sales. Once you create it, you give the same talk over and over again. And because it's structured as a premeditated selling tool, you greatly reduce the effort you have to put forth to create leveraged profits. And by leveraged, I mean you're speaking and selling to many, not just one-to-one. Your audience could be 20 people in a room or it could be 2,000 people online in a webinar. Can you say cha-ching? It's a beautiful thing. You're giving value, differentiating yourself as a high-value expert, and leveraging your time, energy, and profits all at the same time. Today, we're going to start with how to structure your talk so you can understand the flow and the reason behind structuring things in this way. Once you have the breakdown, you're going to suddenly realize and recognize this format in 99% of all of the webinars, teleseminars, and talks that you attend that are for selling because it's a pretty standard form and it works to deliver value, build credibility, and make more sales. The advantage you have is that if you've done the other branding homework up to this point, you already have a big chunk of the work done. Even choosing and filling in the content will be easy, and you'll see why in just a few minutes. For you, much of this will be a plug-and-play process. This is one reason I really, really, really love presenting my material in the order that I do, because it all builds on each other. If you have done the homework, if you've started with your point of view and you've done your niche and your target audience and your powerful questions, and then you've gone on and done your signature system, you already have done so much of the work. All you need to do is plug it and play it into this talk, and you're going to be done. So you're going to see some redundancy, which strengthens your understanding of your brand, and it makes things very, very streamlined. The other beauty of this structure is once you have this outline, you can use it over and over again for future signature talks if you decide to develop them for other brand themes. So if you are, for example, a health coach and a life coach, you might have one talk that is specific to health and nutrition and all of those great things, and you might develop another talk that has to do more with the side of your business that has to do with life coaching. So putting your talk together in this structured way also helps to create something interesting and dynamic for your audience. You seem organized. The material is organized, so they're better able to hear you and absorb the content. You're also creating a specific flow to your message, and it massages your audience to be primed for your offer. And because you're going to be infusing your talk with transparency and authenticity, you won't feel out of integrity. You're going to be showing them that you are a person of integrity and that you do care about giving real value in real time. One thing I want to point out before we dive in is there can be slight differences between how you do your talk live versus online for a teleseminar or webinar, and I'll point those out as we go along. Okay. Enough talk, let's get to work. The first thing we're going to be talking about is the opening. Right now, at the very beginning, there's a slight discrepancy for live versus online talks. If you're giving a talk live, it's likely someone else is going to be introducing you, in which case you can jump right into what I call your attention grabber. You want to start off your talk with something very, very dynamic, something that's really going to grab people's attention and let them know that you're in charge. It's a very powerful and impressive way to start. You know, when you do an audition, the two things that people remember most about your presentation are the first two measures and the last two measures, right? You want to do a big cadenza at the beginning and nail the high note at the end because that's what people remember the most. It's that first impression. So you need to make the beginning count. And this can be anything that's compelling. You want to choose something that's on brand for you and suits your personality. So for me, I really often start my talks and presentations with singing. It's something that's a little bit unexpected, and it ties into my talk. But it also is, you know, very applicable to who I am, my experience, the whole story of my brand and my business and my life. So it's really on brand for me. And that's very important. Don't add something at the beginning just because you think it's going to get attention. Make sure that it's personalized and on brand. So here are some options. Do something physical. You don't have to sing, but you might want to try something that is using your body at the beginning, especially for live. I was at a really cool talk once where the guy who was speaking was a yoga instructor, and he didn't talk at all. He came out on stage and did this really powerful handstand, and he held it for like forever, it seemed like, and then with great control, he stood up and started talking, and his talk was all about life balance. So it was very cool. It was a very cool thing to witness, and for sure it was different. So physical is great. You can do something shocking, like using a shocking statistic. Do you know the number one killer of women is not breast cancer? It's actually heart disease. Or by the time you leave this room, one more teen will have committed suicide due to a drug overdose. Now, let me tell you that some people don't think that that's the best way to go. Some people think that that's too strong at the beginning, that you want to warm your audience up. Again, I go back to what you like. It's your talk. You know your material. You know the stories that you're going to be using. But it is an option. So you could also tell a story. You want to take time and set the stage. Or you could ask a question. Have you ever is a great one. Like, have you ever, you know, been in that situation where you thought that you looked great and you checked your hair, you checked your jewelry, and you walked out the door, and 10 seconds out of the door, someone came up behind you and said, oh, did you know that you have toilet paper on the bottom of your shoe? You know, like whatever it is, telling a story. Maybe you have more than one story in your talk, so you might start with a story that's really, really powerful. I know someone who has suffered a lot of really intense tragedies and traumas in their life, and they start their story off about opening their eyes in the emergency room after having tried to commit suicide. And for sure, every eye, every ear is open and on that person. Or you might start with a story that's a warm-up story, you know, that isn't that story, but it's sort of a teaser to the story that's going to come. The other thing is when you come on stage, you want to use your body. And then, you know, I'm a singer, so I'm going to talk about your performance. Take up space with your body. You know, open your chest, open your arms, smile. Unless you're telling, you know, if you are telling a story that is dramatic, if you come on smiling, you want to take a beat because you don't want to smile and then go into a really dramatic story. You want to give the audience sort of a physical heads up that something is changing. But be bold, smile, use lots of energy, use your gestures. You want to use your body. Another thing you can do is to use humor. This is if you feel comfortable delivering humor and you're good at it. Make sure it's appropriate. Off-color or exclusive humor is never appropriate. You know, I often listen to Joel Osteen, and he starts off every sermon with a wholesome joke to lighten the mood. And starting with some kind of self-deprecating humor can be effective. Just don't say anything to undermine your value. Do not use humor if you're super nervous, if you haven't practiced your joke, if you're not good at it, if you're not a great performer, because it can really bomb and make you uncomfortable and the audience uncomfortable. But if you're good at it, then use it. Also, you can paint a picture. One of the most powerful words in the English language is imagine. It's a great way to start a scene. Imagine. It's July 1st, and you're packing your bags for your long-awaited beach vacation. And as you lay out your clothes, you pull out your new black bikini. Instead of packing it, you know what? You decide you're going to try it on one last time before you put that baby in the suitcase because you've worked hard and now you have the body to show for it. You look amazing, right? So paint the picture. This is called future pacing. It's something that future pacing, and it's something we're going to talk about more when we get to the selling pieces of the talk. It's very effective here, too, to start seeding for your offer. Okay, that's live, right? If you're live, you have all these different things. Some of those apply to online as well, right? You can use humor. You can paint a picture. We're online now, and I just painted a picture of the bikini and the suitcase. If you're online, your talk, you're going to start out with an introduction of who you are and what the name of the talk is, right? So if you're live, someone might be introducing you. If you're online, you want to introduce yourself. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Close Any Room, 6 steps to creating leveraged income from signature talks. I'm Heather Poduska, and I'm here where I help entrepreneurs find and project their own unique voice into the marketplace, blah, blah, blah. So introduce who you are. If you're live and someone has not given you an intro, you're going to want to give yourself a quick intro, too. After the attention grabber. So you can do the attention grabber. Imagine it's July 1st and you're packing your bags. You've worked hard for your body and now you look amazing. Hi, everybody. I'm Joan Smith and I am, you know, beach body queen to people who want to lose 20 pounds in 6 weeks, whatever it is, whatever the title is. So you can put your intro after your attention grabber live too, but you want them to know who you are. So the next thing is, you're in the right place. And this is great for online. So if you're on I don't know about you, but I sign up for a lot of webinars and teleseminars because I like to learn, but I also like to study the structure and watch how people are creating them and doing their funnels. And it's something I suggest that you do as well to learn. And you'll notice that people say you're in the right place if, because you know you want the audience to start self-identifying. You want to list off statements that will align with their struggles or challenges. Not only that will help this help them decide if they are yes indeed in the right place. This is also another type of seeding as well to put them back in touch with their pain. You're in the right place if you really want to start speaking from the stage, but you're unsure of what you want to put in your talk. You're in the right place if you've given many presentations but come away empty-handed. You're in the right place if you've tried over and over again to lose weight, but you can't keep it off, and you're ready to finally change your eating habits for good. Okay? You're in the right place. And that's particularly for online, because obviously if you're live, you can use it, but they're there. They're captive, right? But you can use that there too. Next, you want to establish your credibility. This is where your bio goes. So we've worked on the bio. If you don't have one, you want to do it, do a short bio. You can use the script from your brand manifesto that we worked on, something short hits the highlights. Tell them who you are, why you're here, why you are qualified to give this talk, and what results, there's that word again, that you get for your clients who follow your programs. Then you're going to talk about what they will learn. Give them a heads up about what they can expect. Outline the steps that they're going to learn and finish with you so they can benefit. This also solidifies your expertise and credibility. So in this talk, in this class today, you're going to learn how to structure your signature talk. So every time you get on stage, you have a streamlined flow to your talk that is positioning you as a high-value expert and warming your audience to buy, right? So I'm telling you what you're going to learn. Then next, you want to seed. And when I'm saying seeding, it's like planting seeds in the ground, right? You're planting these seeds for your offer so that you're not just banging people over the head at the end, you know, giving this value, giving value, giving value, and being, oh, by the way, I've got this product or this program. You're kind of letting them know along the way that you are, you know, somebody who has something to sell, right? So let them know they're going to give great content, but that it's only a piece. It's only a piece. You can't give your whole business model. We've talked about this before. People are not going to lose 50 pounds by coming to your talk, right? They have to learn more. They're not going to learn how to build a complete business model by one talk. They're not going to learn everything they need to know about how to be a great communicator by coming to one talk or one webinar. Let them know you'll be telling them more at the end about how to take things further with you if they enjoy the content and they find it valuable. And then ask for their permission. Is that okay? So I'm going to be teaching you what we have time for today about how to create a signature talk. If you find this valuable and you want to learn more how to get booked and how to get gigs and how to do a speaker sheet, I can tell you more about that at the end. I have another program that's perfect for developing speakers, right? And I'm telling you that so that it's not a bang at the end of the talk. This establishes transparency and trust. It also sets the stage for later because you can remind them that you were going to tell them about how you could work with them, how they could work with you more. Tell them a juicy dessert is waiting at the end if they stick around. This is used a lot for online. So I'm going to be teaching you all these great things. We only have so much time today, but if you stick around for the end, for those people who hang on to the very end, I have this awesome tip, this one piece of information that will really make the difference in all of your profits, but it's only for the people that hang on to the very end. Because if you're online, people leave, they get distracted, they have to go make dinner, their phone rings, their kids are calling to them. So you want to entice them to stay on because you want them to be there for your offer. Okay, next is your personal story. So You've already worked on this. You want to make sure you link back to how your story is related to what you're doing now and why you're giving this talk. This is also about choosing the right story and how much you love this content and the great results will be from hearing it. So you want to choose a story. Often people are like, I'm not sure what story to use. You're going to use more than one story in your talk. I've already told you one story in this talk, and that was about getting asked to speak at the money laundering experts anti-money laundering experts board, right? So that was a story that I told you. But if I was giving my talk, I would be telling you my big story about how I was a singer and transitioned into business coaching and all the other things that I do now. But I'm also going to be you're also going to be including other stories. But the big story that you want to use, you want that to link to your offer, right? If I'm talking about how I transitioned from singing into branding, into business coaching, into performance coaching, and then I'm going to make an offer at the end about one of my courses, one of my programs, about Speak to Sell, about a masterclass, or whatever it is, I want to make sure that the story that I'm telling connects to the content that I'm giving and to the offer. Okay. The next, so after your story, you're going to do the content. And we're going to go over how to do the content in just a minute. But this is going to be, to some degree, plug and play, because a lot of this is already done if you have done the work of putting together your signature system. You're going to put all the great juicy content that you worked on during doing the modules for that, and you're just going to put it in here with a couple of extra things. And we're going to be talking about that in just a second. So I want to go into that in more depth, but this is where that piece goes. So after your story, then the content. Then after your content, you want to seed again. You want to save the most important point for the end. This works especially well if you're online or giving a talk where there's an option for people to leave the room, right? So you give the talk and you say, I have one more piece. I've just given you three pieces or six steps or whatever. There's a seventh step coming. If you're online, you're going to save that best, most juicy point for the end. You want to remind them that the piece of content that they're getting now is the second to last point, right? I've given you six out of 7 points, and I'm going to get to that 7 point in just a minute. But before I do, blah, 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 right? And also, you're going to remind them that you can't give them everything here. We've had limited time here. We've gone deep into these. You know, there are three steps to my process, and I've gone deep, deep, deep on one. And the other two, if you want to find out more, we can find out more about that later. I'm going to give you the other two after this, or other one. You can call it a bonus, or you can also put some kind of exercise or implementation piece at the end to keep people to stay on, right? I've given you these steps, but there's an exercise that I want to take you through. I want to give you real value in real time, and there's a very special profit-busting meditation that I'm going to do with you in real time that is going to change your mindset, your mood, your energy, and anything that has to do with your profit-making ability is going to be shifted through this meditation, and I'm going to do that with you at the end, right? So it's some exercise, some incentive for people to stay on the call after you've made your offer. So in between the content and your offer, you want to tell them to stay on, hang with you. That's more for online, right? Because when you're live, you're giving the content there. So after you give the content, after you say, heads up, something else is coming, then you want to seed and transition to the close. So along with your personal story, the close is probably the most important piece of your talk. This is where you make or break sales. So it's very important to get this piece down. And this piece is the part that I think makes most people uncomfortable. So I'm going to go over it. We're really going to look at it. But it's going to be something that I want you to practice. You can, you know, I've been saying practice sales calls, practice your closes with people, you know, say, hey, would you be my partner and can I practice closing you on my signature talk? Because it really helps to rehearse this. So for right now, I'm just going to outline the close. All right. We're going to go into it a little bit more, but for now, here the close is really the transition from giving your content into the sales process. So you're going to wrap up and review the content. You're going to remind people of their permission that you talked to them about at the beginning about your program, right? So you want to wrap up and review the content because you want to re-articulate the value that you've just given. I've just told you all of these steps that you need to do to write a signature talk. Now, there's one thing between having the content and implementing the content. I've just told you all the steps that you need to do to lose weight and get in shape in the next 6 weeks. Or I've just told you all of the things that need to be in place on your brand new website. Now, there's a big difference between having the content and implementing the content, right? But you're going to remind them that you gave them content. You're going to say, but our time here is limited, and there's only so much I can give you in this time slot in this space. And I said at the beginning I would let you know about how to take this to the next level if it was something that was interest to you. So you're going to remind them. Then you're going to demonstrate with client examples, right? So I've taken hundreds of people. I've taken many people. I've taken all of my clients. I've taken 99% of my clients through this exact process, and they've seen amazing results. Let me tell you about Susie. She came to me, her cholesterol was through the roof, her blood pressure was high, she was worried about going on meds, her life was stressed out, she didn't know what to do. I took her through these 6 steps, and the results have been amazing. She's off all medication, she's down 3 dress sizes, her skin looks amazing, she's whatever. You know, whatever it is, you want to paint the picture of someone who has gone through your process. So an example that I could give is that after a VIP day, you know, where I went through all of these things and mapped out a signature program with somebody and gave them the marketing copy, the very next day she went out and sold her VIP package to a new client. And that's a true story. And it's great because I tell the process, I give an example of someone who went through the process and sold something in 24 hours. So if you have something like that, this is a great place to do it. But you want to say, these are the exact steps I took them through. Now, the next thing is you can offer for them to do it alone. So you know, you may be good at this point. This may be all that you need, right? I've given you all the information, and I want you to have the information so you can take the next step. But we all know that unless someone is there to help you, to support you, to keep you accountable, the results are not going to be the same. And if this is not the right time, I appreciate that. But I know for myself that having that support is crucial. And then you can future pace. Remember I said future pacing before? You want to paint the picture and ask them, what will it look like 6 months from now if you do nothing? If you take no steps to change your life, what is your life going to look like? Are you still going to be struggling? Are you still going to be lonely without a soulmate? Are you still going to be struggling to figure out what your niche is? How is your life going to be different? And then make your offer, right? So it doesn't have to be different. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. What I have for you today is blank. So your offer, so that's the transition. You really want to put people back in touch with their pain. So when you do, let me just go back to the future pacing. When you do the future pacing, you can reiterate the pain points that you said at the beginning of you're in the right place if you are struggling to find your mate, if you have been trying to lose the same 10 pounds over and over again. So future pacing, are you still going to be trying to find your mate? Are you still going to be struggling with those last 10 pounds, right? So you can reiterate the pain points up to that point. Okay, then you're going to make your offer. So your offer is what you're actually going to sell. It may be a program, a product, a workshop, a private coaching, a class, or a free call. But whatever you choose to sell, it should be aligned with both your talk and your business model. Unless you're about to launch a new product or program that's going to be a permanent or semi-permanent feature in your business model for the foreseeable future, I would not recommend creating something new and clever for your signature talk. That does not make a signature talk. That makes something that you have to constantly create new, right? The signature talk should lead to something that is something you can use over and over and over again. And you want to know what your offer is as you're creating your talk, right? Because you want to backwards engineer it. And if you've done your signature system and you have a program for people to go through, it should be a piece of cake. That's why I was saying when we work in this way and we layer it, it's streamlined, it's just really easy. So you want this to be something you can use over and over again that makes it easy to seamlessly pull people through your sales funnel. And it's great to have a step-in offer. You know, you're not going to want to try to sell a $20,000 coaching program from your talk. If you're doing that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to sell a high-end coaching program, but for your talk, you're not going to be selling the coaching program. You're going to be selling a strategy call, right? And having a strategy call as your offer is totally fine. Strategy calls are a really good way to make sales. And if your offer is high-end, it's one of the only ways to make sales. So don't poo-poo the strategy call. I mean, no one is going to buy a $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 package from you without speaking to you in more depth about it. So a strategy call is a fine thing to offer as your offer. Just decide ahead of time. Okay. Finally, if you're asked not to sell anything for your offer, don't stress about it. You know, that might be a different kind of a talk. Or if you are, you know, if it's not like a great opportunity, we talked about this before, when do you want to give talks where you're asked not to sell anything? It might be a really great exposure for you. It might be a place where you're practicing your talk. It might be in front of the right audience that you just want them to know about you. But I would seriously think about why you're doing the gig if you're asked to sell, not to sell anything or present anything, because there are lots of places you can go to make offers and to sell from the stage. So just weigh that. Think about that. The other thing is if you're asked not to sell anything, you can do all of the things that we just talked about, but add more client success stories. So instead of making an offer, you can just talk about someone who's been through your program or your process and has gotten amazing results, and that's why you love doing what you're doing so much, because doing that is a form of selling. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you're asked not to sell, you can still sell through your talk. And if you're asked not to sell anything specific, ask if you can offer free strategy calls. And if they say no, ask if you can give your contact information. I mean, who's going to say no, you can't give your contact information? And if you do the seeding, well, people are, you know, if they're the right audience, they're going to respond. Okay. So give one after you've made your offer, you want to give them the last most important tip that you've been promising and saving. Now is the time for this last juicy tip, and remind them that you're keeping your promise. Again, this creates integrity, right? You've promised them something, and remind them that, yes, I promised it, and I'm a person who keeps their word. I deliver this. And that it's a special reward, a special gift for the people who stayed on with you. This is for online, right, or on a call. Or even in the room. You know, they haven't walked out of the room. They're still there. Okay. Then the last thing is to thank them and remind them of your offer. But I always think it's good to leave with something of value, right? So don't leave by asking for something. Leave by giving them something. It can be one little tip. It can be some quote. It can be just something of inspiration or motivation. Just leave giving. Don't leave asking. Okay. Now, one thing that you do want to do when you're giving these talks is ask for feedback. This is great for live presentations. You say that you're always trying to improve and love feedback, and you want to know especially what they loved and that they found valuable. You're trying to get testimonials for your talks. So mention that you have a feedback sheet. You can say something like, I'd love your thoughts about today's presentation. Your feedback really helps me to continually improve and customize my talks and content to better serve my audiences. Would you take just a few minutes to answer a couple questions, right? So you can have a feedback sheet, and that you can use those, and you can put those on your speaker sheets, on your website. You can use those for marketing your talks later. Then you can also mention that you're available for other speaking opportunities. If they've liked what they enjoyed and they have an organization or they know of an organization that would benefit from this kind of talk, to please let you know. You know, either meet them at the back of the room or have them write it on the sheet, the feedback sheet, whatever. Okay, so then thank you and goodbye. So that is the outline, and it may seem like a lot, but once you get the individual pieces down, again, it's just plug and play, and you already have a lot of this done if you've done your homework. Once you understand the structure, you can change things up easily to suit another talk that you might create later. I encourage you to listen to free teleseminars or webinars, go to talks by industry leaders who are selling, right? Because this is there are keynote talks, there are different talks, but people who are selling from the back of the room, you really want to understand the structure and you want to be comfortable with it. Now, although I tend to focus a lot on the profit part of giving a talk, you also want to make sure that you deliver real high-value content to your audience. And I know that you care about doing that, but there are ways to do it so it really is more valuable. I have to say for most entrepreneurs, giving valuable content isn't a problem. The two biggest problems I think especially women have is giving too much information or not being organized with their points, both of which overwhelm your audience. And I will tell you, organizers really appreciate it when you can be on time and concise. I was the president of a networking group for a while, and it was my job to bring in speakers. And I will never forget this lunch meeting that we had where I brought in the speaker. We had an hour, and at 30 minutes, she was on like point 2 of 6 or something like that. And I'm doing the old wrap-up at the back of the room, and the audience had to leave to get back to work. She was irritated because she had to wrap up. I was sweating bullets because I had this on my shoulders. So the point is that it's incredibly valuable to your audience and to the organizers to have your act together with your content. The other thing to remember is while your signature talk absolutely should give value, it's a teaser to working with you. Your audience should be getting a taste of what you could do for them, not sitting there and feasting on all of the things that you can do for them, all of your content. It's an appetizer. Okay, so this is how to structure your content. The first thing you need to think about is what you actually want to teach. Again, I'm repeating myself, but if you've done your signature system work, you already know. You already know what your topics are going to be because you can just pull the points out. But here are the ways to choose your content. Make sure it's aligned with the biggest transformation you provide for the brand theme you've chosen. If you're talking about how, like I said, if you're talking about nutrition and you have a nutrition talk, it should be the transformation around that theme. For me, I might give a talk on creating a killer image and how that can increase your profits. Well, so that might be a little bit different transformation than if I'm talking to someone about how to speak from the stage. So it has to be related. Next, try to choose the content that mirrors your signature program or one of your core offerings. And we just talked about that. This is not the time to build up your brand footprint. Your talk will naturally do that. You should be leveraging these opportunities for sales, not just for platform building, right? You want to use the content to drive people into your funnel. And as I said last time, don't be afraid of that because sales are something you do for someone who wants a transformation, not something you do to someone to manipulate or bully them. Okay, also make sure it naturally leads to your offer. Ideally, you want your points to lead to your offer so that there is a cohesive thread. Okay, choosing your delivery style. Now that you have the steps, you're going to choose how you want to deliver the content so you give value, but leave the audience hungry for more. So once you have your total steps laid out for the transformation, you need to decide what to leave in and what to leave out. And there are a couple different ways to do this. The first way, option A, is do a high-level overview of all of the steps. Say you have a 6-step system. You're going to give all 6 steps. You're going to tell every single piece that someone needs to do to get the result that they want. But you're just going to touch lightly on each point. You're not going to go into great depth. And when you choose this option, I think it works best if you choose 1 or 2 steps to maybe go a little bit deeper with an actionable piece of advice to go along with it. So for maybe like step 2 and step 4, you give a piece, an action piece that they can do. If you do the next option, you're going to choose some of the steps and you're going to go into more depth. If you choose this approach, I would advise you to leave out the steps that they might need your help with to implement or that would bring all of the steps together. For example, if you're a PR expert, you might talk about how to research opportunities, how to write a good hook, how to write a press release, but leave out how to actually pitch the right contact. you mention it, and then it's something that you go into more depth with within your programs, but you don't give that piece away. Again, you want to leave them hungry for more. So the first option is an overview. The section option is to choose some of the steps, and then the third option is just to choose one step. Go very deep into one of them. For example, if you're a financial planner, your process might include budgeting, investing, taxes, real estate planning, but in your talk, you only address how to save for retirement. Again, you mentioned the other steps covered in your program, but that one you do a deep dive. So you want to choose, am I going to do overview, some of the steps, or a deep dive? Now you need to choose which steps you are going to cover. And keep in mind, most people retain information when there are only 3 to 5 relevant points. So after you choose which ones you're going to cover for your points, you need to fill in the actual content. And believe it or not, there's a way to do this that's optimal. For each point, you want to answer what, why, what if, and how. So for each point, explain what it is, why it's important, give what if in terms of consequences and benefits. What it is, why it's important, and what if in terms of consequences and benefits. Consequences are pain points, benefits are results. So if you want to do 3 points for each point. So 3 consequences or pain points and 3 benefits if they solve that problem. Again, if you've done your work for your signature system, this is going to be plug and play. We've already done this. And then you want to give one small actionable step your audience can do to address that problem right away or easily. This is a tip to address the point, to move them forward. Remember, you want to give them real value. So by giving one small tip, you're doing that, but without giving massive detail. And if you've structured your talk to go in depth on fewer points, then give them, you know, maybe a couple of tips. All right. For example, if you're a stylist or an image consultant, you might use getting a proper fit as one of your points. So the what would be, a proper fit means having clothes that fall on your body so that your assets are accentuated and your flaws are camouflaged and you feel comfortable. And why that's important? Because a lot of people struggle with this, and it can dramatically impact the way you look and feel and how others treat you. People rarely have perfectly proportioned bodies, and having a proper fit can help balance you. And most people don't understand how to dress their body types. The consequences of not getting a good fit. You know, if you don't know how to do this, you're uncomfortable. You don't like the way the clothes look on you, so you don't wear them as often, and they sit in your closet. You can look heavier than you are, and you waste a lot of time and money shopping. The benefits. So the benefit of resolving this problem is that you look taller, thinner, wealthier, and you feel more confident. And one small tip that I can give you right now to solve this problem is to find a good tailor in your town so you can have your clothes altered appropriately. Again, you can remind people that you go into much greater detail about how you specifically address these challenges, so you're incentivized to go further. And then give a client example for each of the points. So you want to intersperse real-life examples through your talk. And I already talked about this, but the best examples are client stories for people who followed your process and gotten really good results, or people who have not followed these steps and have bombed. So those people aren't your clients, right? They're other people's clients. But for someone who followed the process, someone who started having their clothes tailored and got a promotion soon after because they just looked so sharp. If you don't have one of your own clients to talk about, that's fine. Like if you're just starting out, you can use case studies of other people or circumstances to prove your point. You could, you know, like for styling, you could point to a starlet, right? You know, they always have those before and after pictures in People magazine where their style was horrific and then they hired a stylist and they started getting plum rolls. So just make sure the client stories you or the case studies you choose are relevant to the topic or the step that you're covering. This is social proof, and it's also a way to seed your talk for sales. So it's extremely powerful, and it demonstrates your ability to deliver good results and the story or narrative your audience will love and remember. So each client example becomes its own little hero's journey, what was happening for them before, what the catalyst was, which is your process, your expertise, and what the amazing result or benefit of going through your process was. So that's how you deliver content. choose content that aligns with your offer, right? So if again, if you've done your signature system, you have that. List all the points you go through in your process or whichever method you're going to use. So first you're going to list the points, right? So maybe you have 5, maybe you have 8. Just lay them out. Then you're going to choose which delivery method you're going to use. You're going to go high level, some points, or one point in depth. Then you're going to structure your content for each point. What it is, why it's important, and what if in terms of consequences and benefits, and then one small actionable item of how they can address that, and give social proof with client examples or case studies. So that's it. That is a lot of information, but I wanted to go thoroughly through this process with you because once you have this, you can listen to the recording, you have the templates, you can do this over and over and over again. You just take pieces out. You might want to change the story. You can put a different story in. You might want to change your signature system. Like maybe you're selling something different and you want to do a different talk, then you just plug those into your content. The basic outline for a profitable signature talk and strategy for choosing content and high value so your audience sees you as a high value expert and the best way to absorb the information is what we just did. And if you put these structures into place, you are going to be ahead of 90% of the people out there speaking. But the key is speaking. Even if you only remember half of what we covered, the best way to generate income is by getting your message out. And as I said at the beginning, speaking is leveraged, one to many. It's a great way to make money and get much more exposure. Okay, there you have it, how to make a signature talk that sells. And I'm going to open up the line. Hold on. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Trish.
Hi, how are you guys?
How are you?
Good. Sorry, my boys are home today, so my morning was a little delayed.
No problem. Do you guys have any questions?
Oh, my gosh. You're right. This was definitely the one for me, I'm sure.
Yeah, so don't get overwhelmed. If you got overwhelmed, go back and listen to the recording and look at the templates because I went into depth about each thing, but if you look at the templates, it'll have the outline and it'll be more bullet points. It'll make more sense.
Well, it all makes sense. It definitely makes sense. I think, and it goes back to making so much sense of having the bullet points and what do I talk about, what do I not talk about. And actually listening to you, Heather, I was seriously, it was almost like I was having an epiphany thinking, okay, maybe my signature talk isn't the one I've been using. I mean, I really need to dive in and find those, like really fine tune it. And that's what this was so great about.
So Trish, I think that you're probably going to have more than one kind of talk in your business model.
Exactly.
Because you do inspirational speaking, right? And you are you want to do speaking to get paid to speak. Right.
Exactly.
So those are going to be keynote talks and that's not going to be the same kind of format as this. That's going to be more inspirational. And
however, I think to what you just delivered, Heather, it gives me and will assist me, even if I'm given an inspirational talk or no matter what I'm doing, it will assist me staying on point.
Yes. Yes. It's a structure. And I always say that structure, this is one of my catchphrases, structure is not a cage. It's a bridge to your profits. People
right.
don't like, it is a bridge to your profits because it keeps you on task and it makes it easier for you and delivers more value for your audience because you're not wasting their time. You're not overwhelming them.
Right. So I think it matters whether I'm giving an inspirational talk or I'm doing some one-on-ones with somebody. I think what you just delivered to us is going to help me no matter what content I'm giving.
Right.
So
Trish, one thing I wanted to say to you is that the point I was making about if you're asked not to sell, if you're doing an inspirational talk, you want to really inspire people. I mean, that is, they're going to love you for your story and for, you know, your triumphs and your struggles. but you can still, you know, I'm in air quotes, sell, because you can give examples of how you've helped other people, right? Or say you gave a talk somewhere and someone afterwards came up to you from the audience and said, what you said changed my life. So let me give you an example. I have a client who gave a signature talk about her. It was a client who had tried to commit suicide. And she gave the talk, and someone in the audience heard the talk, and she was LGBT, is that right? Right letters in the right order, but she's gay, and she was inspired to speak out at a high school, and at that high school, a kid came up to her and said, I feel comfortable coming out because of that. So my client had that experience of saying, my talk impacted someone, so this boy who was an at-risk person felt safe, right? So it's not, she wasn't selling anything. She wasn't, well, she might have been selling, she was selling something in her talk, but this example didn't have to do with selling. But it was an example of the impact of her talk and how powerful it was and the ability to change people's lives. So those, if you're not trying to sell somebody into a program that you're doing, Trish, but maybe you're just trying to get more exposure and more opportunities to talk, those are kinds of client examples that you might give in your talk of the impact that your speaking has had. Does that make sense?
Yep. And I have many little testimonials for that. So thank you for sharing that point.
Yep. Cool. Jen, did you have any questions?
I think the hardest part for me is really, I'm like guilty of that, of giving too much information. And then I have to, creating the structure around it, it's not so much the structure, it's really the exact points I want to focus on. That's my hardest part.
So let's work backwards. What do you want to sell?
Well, I think you bring up a great point. I don't want to sell my big programs because it's too much. It's really more having a call with me and being able to gain that kind of clarity.
But you're still selling. So let's go past that. So say you get them on the call. What is it that you're trying to sell them into?
When I have the one-to-one calls that I have?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Into a 6 or 12 month coaching program.
And is it a life coaching program?
Yeah. It's a life coaching program. Mm-hmm.
Does it have health and nutritional pieces to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely my foundation.
Okay. That's cool. That's no problem. So what you need to, what I would suggest is to create a signature talk. If someone, try to think about it like this. Did you do the signature system process, what we did before?
The signature talk that, that's the one we're talking about right now.
No, this is
where
the
you did,
system.
Where you created your program. Where you created a program.
No, I did not do that one.
Okay.
I didn't do that one because that's a sticky point for me, but it's probably not. I just think it is.
So here's the thing, and did you listen to the thing on business model too that we did? I don't know if you were on that call. So I'll put the recordings up. I want you to listen to the business model one too. Okay. So I want you to do the signature system one just because it's going to help you with this process.
Okay.
If somebody was going to work with you for 6 months, and you don't have to spell it all out right now, but if you could tell me really shortly, what would be six steps that they would go through to get a good result from you? Like what I know, and I know it's coaching, so it's a little bit different. But what are like six areas, or even three areas, that they would have to work on to get the desired result that they want?
True, authentic clarity on really what they want.
Okay, what they want.
Realizing that a mindset piece around the fact that they can have what they want. What can you say that? So first is deciding what they want and
being really truthful. I think a lot of people don't. I think people do know what they want. They just won't say it out loud.
Okay. So it's knowing what they want.
Yeah, knowing
okay,
what they
I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you focused. Okay.
Yes. So yeah, knowing what they want, a clarity piece. So it's clarity.
Okay. Knowing what they want, understanding what
mm-hmm.
they want. Would you say shifting their mindset?
Shifting their mindset.
Okay. What else
and
do they need to do?
They need to take action.
What kind of action?
Decision making action.
Okay.
So
can you say something else about decisions?
Making. For example, a client who knows that her marriage is not working, getting clarity around that and deciding, am I going to stay in this marriage because I think it's what's best for my family, or am I going to choose to leave this marriage because I think it's what's best for my family and myself?
So making
choices.
Making authentic choices?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, making authentic choices. What else do they need to do to get the best results? Decide what they want, shift their mindset, make authentic choices. What else?
They need to take care of themselves, make time for themselves, have self-care. And I do bring in the nutritional piece because I don't believe that you can make powerful decisions when your mind isn't working properly, and therefore you need to fuel your body properly.
There's a word that I'm trying to think of, and the word I wrote down dramatic, but dramatic is not the right word. There's a word that people use, and I can't think of it. It's dramatic, intense, but the second part of it is self-care. You know what I'm saying? People say intense self-care, or there's some word that I'm trying to think of, and I can't think of it right now. But self-care.
Okay.
Anything else?
Self-image.
What'd you say?
Self-image.
No. It's an adjective for self-care.
Oh,
I was trying to think. I'll think of it later. Okay, so what they want, shifting their mindset, making authentic choices, dramatic self-care, choosing self-care,
mm-hmm.
and what's anything else that they need to really get the best results from you? What else do they need to do?
I'm thinking.
They need to hire you.
Well, yeah.
but what do they need to do with you? What do they do? What do you help people with to get the results?
I help people learn how to communicate effectively.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of that.
Okay.
And listen effectively. Because a lot of my work is these people want to change their lives, and they have to do something different in their lives in order to get to where they want to go.
Okay, good.
So they
All
have
right.
to
so
change
we've got,
things.
Okay, anything else? Effective communication skills.
There's a lot of work on boundaries.
Okay, establishing boundaries.
Uh-huh. Establishing boundaries
mm-hmm.
Around their work
mm-hmm.
and their life.
And personal life, really.
Yes, and personal life, yep.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that they do with you to get the results they want?
They try new things. They try different strategies, whether it's learning how to meditate or going to Reiki, or I do a lot. I'm kind of an out-of-the-box thinker, so
mm-hmm.
something that they might never think to do. And because of also my functional medicine training, I can say, God, you've tried, you know, maybe there's food allergies involved here that can't help you live your best life, you know. So I think from a holistic standpoint, I throw at them lots of different ways of exploring
what?
Exploring other options so that they can have the life they want.
Exploring other, what would, options of what? Options of what?
options of
lifestyles,
maybe lifestyles or problem solving or, you know, some people might think Reiki is really weird, but from an energetic
standpoint.
What
would you call Reiki? Is it self-care? What would you, exploring other?
I think it is self-care. I think it's self-awareness.
I'm just thinking for, I'm thinking
yep,
of a title of a for a module.
I know.
What's that?
Self-awareness.
Exploring other tools.
Self-care tools.
Grounding tools. Would you say that maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just, you can change it later. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we've just mapped out a signature system for you. Okay.
Okay.
And you feel free to change it how you wish to or not use it at all. I'm just doing this as an example so you can see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen's 7 steps to living a happy, healthy, stress-free life. Okay. Deciding what you want, shifting your mindset, learning to make authentic choices, learning the skill of extreme self-care, discovering effective communication skills, learning to establish personal boundaries, and exploring other groundbreaking, out-of-the-box grounding tools for happiness.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one you said that way. Did you type that? Did you write that, or did you type it?
I wrote it?
It
down. I was taking notes. But so that's your. I mean, you can change it, right?
No. I just didn't write down what you said, and I like how it came out. So I just need to write down what you said.
Yep. I'll say it again.
Okay.
And you can change it a little bit, but discovering what you really want.
Discovering.
Making powerful mindset shifts. Learning to make authentic decisions.
To make authentic.
The skill of extreme self-care or the art of extreme self-care or learning.
Would I put nutrition within that self-care piece?
Yep. See, you can put anything in there you want to.
Okay.
Okay. Effective learning effective communication skills.
Effective.
Establishing personal boundaries, healthy boundaries, establishing healthy boundaries maybe, and exploring the alternatives to a holistic lifestyle or whatever that last one is, exploring, centering. You might have to work on that one, what that last one is. I wrote down exploring grounding tools, other grounding tools. Or happiness tools. Thinking out of the box about your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be your program. I mean, listen, you make it your own.
Yeah.
But that's what you told me, right? I didn't put those in your mouth. That's what you told me. You put those 7 steps down. You fill in the content of what they are.
Right. Okay.
Right? And then those can be... Then you choose A, B, or C. Do you want to cover all 7 steps of what it is, why it's important, the consequences of not doing it, the benefits of doing it, and one small actionable step that they can take, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to know what they want? Why is that important? What happens when you don't know what you want? And what happens when you do know what you want? And what is one tip that I can give you today that will help you with that piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Or do you want to just do one, right? I could talk to you about all these steps, but really today we're going to really explore how to establish healthy personal boundaries. Because if you get this piece, the other pieces will fall into place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. So you can look at all of them, or you can just pick one of them.
Yeah. We just did 6 or 7. I think you could do all of them or pick 3 of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bunch them together.
Okay.
you know, see which ones fit together. So maybe dramatic or extreme self-care, that's the word I was looking for. Maybe extreme,
okay.
And that's my word, but use what you want. Extreme self-care and exploring out-of-the-box happiness tools. So maybe those could go together. You know, like, it. But now you have the framework.
Okay.
And when you do this program, you can say, when I work with people, these are all of the things that we work on. I mean, if you're not going to sell a program, like you could make this into a program. This could be a 6-week program. It could be a 6-month program, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make this an entry offer, like, you know, this is normally a $9.97 offer, and for my speaking groups, it's only, you know, $2.97, and it's your step-in offer. Or you could do a strategy call and say, you know, I find that my clients get the best results when I do intimate, customized, personalized coaching together, but these are the steps that we work on. And depending on what you need and where you are, that's where we focus. But this is the process that I take my people through, and these are the kinds of results that they get.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it does. It's really just for me to understand the structure. I know I do it. You know, when I sit there and I really think about what I'm doing, it's just finding the words to say what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that is one of my...
brilliances?
Yes,
it is.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say that was one of the things that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is something that adds a lot of value to the work. Because people get overwhelmed. And when you have structure, that's what I was saying at the beginning. We start with point of view. Then we do the niche. Then we do the audience. Then we do the signature system. Because if you do those things in the order, if you had, I'm not you know, scolding you, I'm not. But if you had done the signature system work, this would already be done. Right?
Right, okay.
So that's why I do it in that way, because it just makes it very easy and streamlined.
Mm-hmm. But even your prompting is different than if I'm sitting there by myself. That's why when I do my work, my prompting helps people to make decisions along the way.
Yeah.
It's different. That was very beneficial. Thank you.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited. Like, if we just nailed down a signature system and signature talk, and the thing that I love about this, for both of you, for anybody who listens to this recording, you can do this over and over and over again. And once you make it signature, you put on a sassy little title about what it is and the results, and you just become known for that.
Yeah.
The happy whole, you know, happy whole living for type A people. my 7-step system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heather, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Going on doing inspirational speak, okay, if I was to come out, well, first let me rephrase that. One of when you were going through the steps with Jen, one of the things that I like to say is look at the image in the mirror and not the reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that is a powerful title of an inspirational talk?
I think that what you need to think about is who it's for and the results.
Okay.
Right? One of my talk title is From Anonymous to Unstoppable, right? That's
okay.
It's like from this to this, and it's a seven steps to create a star brand to attract high-end clients and make blockbuster profits. Right? So
okay.
It's you can understand who it's for. So who is it for? For whom is it?
Uh-huh.
Or what are the results? Or what is the transformation?
Well, and the transformation, that's probably because my life has been such a transformation from beginning to now, from weight loss and overcoming adversity, triumph over adversity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could
so
that could be... you could say a life of triumph, fill in the rest because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how I
overcome,
how I thrive, how I create a life of thriving with cancer and weight loss, or whatever it is that you want to say, but a life of triumph, how to overcome, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And do you like that? I like a life of triumph. Mm. I like that.
A life of triumph. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And my other question was, do you feel that it's too much of a downer or an actual hook when I start a talk saying, what would you say to my or to your 10-year-old son when he asks who will take care of you when you die?
No, I think that's awesome.
Okay.
But I think you can't, like, be, you need to be a little bit of an actress and when you walk
right.
on stage. Because if someone mm-hmm. announces you and they say, oh, here's Trish O'Neill, I'm so excited to have her here, and you walk on and you're smiling and you look at the audience and you say that, it's like, wait, what?
Exactly.
But if you walk out, I did this with my client that I told you that had that story about suicide.
Uh-huh.
Because she came to one of my master classes so on stage, and I had her walk on stage several times and plant her feet. It was 2001. The lights of the ER were in my eyes. You know, like whatever she said. So take your moment. What is it that you say at the beginning?
What would you say to your son, your 10-year-old son, when he asked, Mom, who will take care of me when you die?
Oh, yes.
God.
Right? So you want to take time with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to your 12-year-old son or your 10-year-old son? Mom? Right? So just, I think it's really powerful. And I think it's very powerful. My only tip is just to set the stage so that your audience is expecting something powerful.
Right. Okay. And do you recommend or not recommend? You shared with us that you come out and sing, which
mm-hmm.
I think is extremely powerful. Oftentimes, I will start with a song or a piece of a song.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Martina McBride's song, I'll Love You Through This.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's 38, three kids. She gets a phone call. I mean, it is quite the story if you've never listened to that song before, about a woman with cancer. And it's, but I don't want it to be a downer. You know what I mean? Because I'm there to be inspiring. So that's
well,
why I want not to come with a downer yet. You want to be dramatic and you want to catch their attention, and then you got to keep it.
Trish, did your son ask you who's going to take care of me?
That's exactly, that was the exact words.
Okay, so I'm sorry, did I interrupt you, Heather?
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking, it's maybe you just go out on that stage and you tell your story.
Absolutely.
Not like you really just say, you know, it was da-da-da-da-da, and this is the year, and and this is the room, and I'm sitting in this, and, like, get really visual for people.
Okay.
And say.
But I love what you're saying, Jen, and I think that what Trish said about the sentence is a great hook.
Yeah.
And please know that when I say that, I'm not trying to trivialize the.
Oh my gosh! Not at all. Not at all.
The realness of what happened, but it's something that's an attention grabber, and then she can do the story.
And
so
then
I think
tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would do the hook
first,
and then the story.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Okay. Thank you, Jen, for your input as well.
Yeah, it was great.
So
awesome, ladies.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So
you feeling good?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
I feel great.
Awesome. Okay,
Heather,
we'll talk tomorrow. Yes.
Thank
you. Did you have a question?
Yeah, your master class, you said when you actually have people come out on stage.
Yes.
Where are you doing that, just in your hometown?
I am for now. Yep. I'll be doing one in June. So if you're interested, I'll let you know.
I'm interested. I'll be gone the whole month of June.
I'll do it more than once. So.
Okay. Okay. If it's on your website, I could read more about it.
Yep. Okay, ladies. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.